Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us post council session last night. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Kind of. Well, the big news last night, the marijuana assignment. Talk about that, Derek.
Yeah, so we did a couple of things last night. We're starting to strategically start to open up parts of our city through our zoning ordinance to the marijuana industry. Mm-hmm. As you know, voters in the city have spoken over and over again, whether it was the legalization of medical marijuana or the legalization of adult use marijuana. They want this industry here. Jackson actually was among the first to opt in to adult use marijuana, and we've been making sure that we have kind of a controlled growth of the industry here in the city. And on Friday, actually, we approved our first license last night for Loom, which is going to be opening up here at 1 o'clock on Friday up on West Ave. The new shop there, it's got solar panel, carport, pretty cool. So excited to see them open another business up during the pandemic. And we've actually worked to restructure some of our own regulations to afford opportunities for future licenses in other business districts. So in the downtown loop, out East Michigan Ave, those changes passed first reading last night. So they go on to the next meeting for second reading and final adoption.
What kind of limits has the city put on this?
Well, what you see compared to other communities that kind of just, you know, flew open their doors and now they're having a problem of not enough of those businesses being able to capture enough of the market to make substantial investments in their community, and having a lot of bad actors and, you know, just bad businesses open up in their shop. We've taken a different approach to kind of control the opening of some of these businesses. We've limited the licenses. So we have three. We actually awarded two provisional licenses. There's another shop on Columbus Street that's working on their project. Loom just, you know, crushed it out the gate and is going to be opening Friday. But we've limited the licenses. That's been purposeful so that they all kind of have enough of a market share to make some substantial investment in buildings, so that's been intentional. For the award of those provisional licenses, we've also developed a pretty rigorous scoring criteria that makes sure that those businesses that come into the city are going to be good businesses, that they're going to have social equity policies, that they're going to pay their staff more than the minimum wage, so they get points as to how high above minimum wage they're going to be paying staff, if they pay their staff benefits, a whole range of different factors, including building design standards and landscaping. So that's why when you drive by Loom and it looks really great, they're a great business and they do this all over the state, but they went above and beyond and making sure that they were scoring high to get the license here in the city.
So I'm sure people probably appreciate taking it slowly, right?
I think so. I'm excited for them to open. I'm going to be up there on Friday. I think the city manager will probably make it out there too. But I think it does provide, like I said, that market share, that stable, more stable market share for them to make those substantial investments in buildings, which in turn is starting to redevelop a lot of the properties that we have here. So we're really interested in continuing that controlled growth putting it to productive use on some of the vacant storefronts that we have in the downtown area. Although there's, you know, fewer and fewer because we're having more and more businesses move into the downtown. But particularly I'm interested in bringing some of that energy out East Michigan Ave over to the city's east side. And so I think that's why we've started to open up our zoning to allow for that in the central business district and the general business district out East Michigan Avenue. So I think it's exciting. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of interest, and as you know, we have a large 70,000 square foot grow operation investment coming in from Objective that's going to be going on East Washington there, next to, I think, CertainTeed. So there's some good investment in the city. It's going to bring some good jobs in here, and I think that's just going to continue to feed on itself and hopefully make for some good investments across our community.
So safe to say financially a plus for the city.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you have a 70,000 square foot building coming in on a vacant green space, I think that brings a is going to bring a tremendous amount of property value to the city, let alone the 50 or so jobs that it's going to be bringing in that are highly paid. Is going to bring in a certain amount of income tax to the city as well. So mm-hmm. I think when we do that controlled growth, make sure that we want you know, not just any business, but good businesses that pay a good wage, that have good product, safe product, that also have nice buildings that meet our standards for the city. I think that's a win-win-win for our community. So I think, and I think it has long-term ramifications for our ability to grow, our ability to get future tax revenue and invest that tax revenue into better services for the residents and businesses that we have here.
Not a lot of other action last night, but you did talk about the rental inspection program and, I guess, extending those inspection cycles.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've been working on over the past year, and City Councilwoman Laura Schlechte has been engaging in conversations with the landlord community, has been to take a look at our inspection program. As you know, we had a lot of blight in the community, a lot of bad actors that leached off of the city, came in, bought properties, didn't invest a dime in them, and took their rental revenue right back out of the city, and allowed a lot of these homes to fall into significant disrepair to the point where they needed to be demolished. So one of the first things that we did when I got into office was put in a non-owner-occupied residential property registry, basically a rental inspection program. And that's been working to clean up the city along with our demolition program. It's also driven a lot of the slumlords and bad actors out of the city and allowed the good landlords that we have to pick up those properties, make substantial reinvestments. So I think over the last, you know, decade, a little bit less than that, but that we've had this program in place, it's really been cleaning up these properties, these parcels, and cleaning up our neighborhoods. So now we're starting to take a look at how we can make it more accommodating for the good landlords that we have in town by extending the time in which the frequency of the inspection from a 2-year program to a 3-year program, possibly a 4-year program. I think even moving to a 3-year program, you know, over 6 years, where right now they would have 3 inspections over that period to the tune of somewhere, I think we're at $255 an hour for inspections, all inclusive. You know, over a 6-year period, that's one less inspection, and they're going to save upwards of, you know, $200. So, you know, it's less, it kind of rewards the good actors. They get to pay less money to the city, have less inspections, and I think that's our overall intent. You know, it's not to have to reward the good landlords and hold the bad landlords accountable to providing safe, affordable, and dignified housing.
Big weekend, Derek, for downtown with Small Business Saturday, and of course Friday should be a busy shopping day as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some pretty big shopping days coming up. I'm actually going to talk to the Chamber today about Small Business Saturday. We've got a lot of great small businesses downtown and across the city, frankly, that are, you know, open, are operating during the pandemic and need our support. So hopefully residents of the city can set their computers aside for a little bit and get out and in a safe way, with masks, practicing social distancing, get to some of these local businesses that we have and buy local Jackson-made product, buy gift certificates. All of those things help keep our businesses open and help create a good climate for local businesses here in the city.
And a real tough time for the restaurants.
Yeah, incredibly tough. You know, going into the winter season, it's going to be incredibly challenging, I think, for a lot of these restaurants that were able to operate by having, you know, patio seating, and we've been pretty flexible in allowing them to be out on the sidewalks, take advantage of some of the parking spaces that we've had downtown. So it's going to be challenging, you know, whether you're going in and ordering takeout or ordering DoorDash, you know, the more people can do to help in their own ways, support some of the businesses that we have in town. I think that's incredibly important to the momentum that we've built in our community and our ability to continue to be resilient and bounce back during this pandemic.
Now, you didn't tell us you were an election observer. Well, how was that experience?
It was crazy. I went down to the TCF Center in Detroit, got credentialed and went inside, and you know, it was you know, it's a large room. Obviously, it's at the old Cobo Hall, the TCF Center. You know, there was obviously it was a very contentious, divisive election. There's been a lot of, I think, misinformation and disinformation about the process and fraud that is completely unsubstantiated. And I think we saw a lot of that play out, not only at the TCF Center, but at the State Board of Canvassers meeting that we just had on Monday. And I was fortunate enough to be able to speak to the State Board of Canvassers, kind of give an account of what I saw at the TCF Center, and asked them to certify the results, and you know, thankfully a bipartisan majority agreed, and so we can kind of finally, I think, move forward from the election and start to focus on some of the real challenges that we face with COVID. And so I'm looking forward to working with our state and federal actors and finding some solutions to get us over the what I think are the real challenges that we face here in Jackson.
Thanksgiving message for the city, Derek?
Yeah, I think, like I just said, this year has been a series of challenges, one after another. Going into Thanksgiving, I hope we can all take some time to consider what we're thankful for me, it's my loving wife, my silly daughter, close friends and family. Thankful to serve as mayor, and thankful for each and every one of the residents of the city that we have here, the workers, the business owners, the nonprofit leaders, the people who've helped show our state how resilient we are as a city and how resilient we can be during this pandemic. So, as everyone counts their blessings this week, remember that we still have work ahead to protect those that are less fortunate than us, the most vulnerable during the pandemic. I hope everyone can help them by wearing a mask, by practicing social distancing, and doing what we can to keep our community safe and healthy over the holiday season. So As mayor, I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and thank everyone for doing their part to keep our city a great place to call home.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
You too.